Have you been blessed so far by the teachings on the school of greatness?
Yes, Glory.
The teaching series for the month of July has been titled Thoroughly Furnished, and with the subtopic School of Greatness. And I still want to reemphasize why we are doing this teaching, because I know it may not at first instance sound like a teaching that should be done in a church. It sounds like something that should be done in maybe a business school or in motivational class. But the Lord led me to do it. I struggle with it. You people don't know how much I struggle with it. If you have been around for a while, you know that we love Bible in this church. Are you with me? We love the Bible, the flow of the anointing, the things of the Spirit. But God opened my eyes to see that many of his children don't even have some basics. Let me show you a scripture. Luke chapter 5 from verse 36. It says, "And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old." So what it's trying to say is, you don't put old garments and join it with new garments. A time can come where if you try to do that, one of them will be torn in pieces. It's just like tailors. There are some materials, you know, this one is very old. You can't mix something new with it. If you try to sew them together, you either the new one or the old one. Does that make sense? And then he goes further in verse 37. He says, "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. No man putteth new wine into old bottles." He says, "Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish." You know, earlier this month, I was saying that God is showing me that he's bringing us into a new level of greatness. He's bringing us into a new level of open doors, of liftings, of promotions. But you see, like we just read, it says, "No man put that new wine into old bottles." And if you followed the first teaching we did, that something must change about you. Are you with me? There is nothing you can do to fix a bad raw material. The person must be changed. And so, God is bringing new wine, new breakthroughs, new opportunities, new open doors. But there must be a change in you first. And so, this teaching is a prophetic teaching to make us new bottles as we receive new wine. Are you with me? For instance, you know, when I came into this place, first Sunday we had here, as I came out to preach, it dawned on me that when you start preaching to a crowd that covers this entire venue, you have to be a different kind of person. Are you with me? It dawned on me. It also dawned on me how much my mind has expanded. You see, new wine must be put into new wine skin, into new bottles. So now, I know we have prophesied. And let me tell you something. It is coming. It is coming. I don't even say amen. Many of you will be billionaires shortly. Many of you, you will have to legislate in parliaments. You will have to step into governmental institutions. Are you with me? You will become captains of industries, big players. Are you with me? Some of you, your sound will be resounding across national borders. Yes. But you have to prepare first. And that's why I'm preparing you. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Because you will eventually become the content of your human spirit. The way you are inside is what will eventually play out on your outside. You know, we said something on that first Sunday that it will take everybody in Nigeria to the United States and bring everybody in the United States to Nigeria. After 10 years, people will want to leave the United States and come to Nigeria. Because it's not about the place, it's about the human beings and the way their mind is. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that even says, I know I explained it to you before. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Meaning your spirit man can be anointed. It's just like new wine and new wine skin. Yes, so the spirit of the prophet, your spirit can be anointed and great. Grace and glory is inside. But if the prophet is not trained, that spirit will take the mode of an untrained prophet. Please, am I talking to you? That's why we are doing these teachings. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. I hope you are doing my assignment. We gave an assignment on Sunday that between last Sunday and this coming Sunday, we will all read the book of Proverbs. I hope you are doing it. If you read 3 chapters every day or 5 chapters every day, by Sunday you are done. And for those of you planning to read your Bible, if you read 10 chapters of the Bible every day, in 4 months, you finish the Bible. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. Approximately 1,200 chapters. So if you read 10 every day in 4 months, you're done. I know you may miss some days, but any day you miss, you try and catch up. Are you with me? Yes, sir. You know, this type of teaching series here, people may not like it though. You know why? It will stretch you. It's trying to make you a different kind of person. And for me, it is a very important series for me. Paul says, when you read my writing, you understand my synesis in the gospel of Christ. You understand my thinking. I as a pastor too. The Bible says that the children of Israel, when they were journeying with Moses, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It means that your pastor, if you truly follow a man of God very well, there are some idiosyncrasies from your pastor that should be rubbed for you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. People should look at you and know where you are coming from. And I'm teaching this because the Lord has asked me to teach it, and these are the things that I've been using in my life for more than 20 years with all sense of humility. Anybody who has known me for a while will tell you the truth. Someone like Pastor Faith, someone like Jennifer. They've known me for a while. These things I'm teaching, I've been teaching it for long ago. Because I discovered if you don't have them, even your own walk with God will have problems. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting me? So on Sunday, we talked about mighty foundation. We talked about the foundation of vision, which we encapsulated as pictures, the foundation of principles, and the foundation of power. Please go and listen to that message. Amen. Today, I want to talk about something I've titled Greatness Non-Negotiables. Or the non-negotiables of greatness. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us.
Amen.
Lord, by the end of this month, let something serious and irrecoverable happen to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us successfully damage mediocrity in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us successfully damage mediocrity in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Greatness non-negotiables. Can you say that to me? Greatness non-negotiables. So what do we mean by the term non-negotiable? It means something that you have no other option but to accept it the way it is. Something that you cannot reduce the standard. You cannot reduce the cost. You cannot find an escape route around it. Please listen to me, because in my spirit, what I'm doing, I am raising God a solid army.
Amen.
As I pen today's teachings down, it just dawned on me. I said, Father, thank you for the people that you sent to raise me. I'm telling you. Lord, thank you. Let's go on. So, have you gone to a supermarket to buy a product? Or let me not say supermarket first. Maybe you went to the market to buy a product. And when you got there, they told you, you asked them, what's the price of this thing? And they told you 2,000. You say, 2,000 is too much now. And see, won't you collect 1,500? You're like, Oh, yeah, bring 1,800. It means that even though they say the price is 2,000 naira, you can negotiate it to 1,800. Then you can tell her, oh, madam, 1,800 is too much. Will I give you 1,600? She will now look at you and say, because of you. It's because of you. So yeah, bring. Or maybe you go to buy something, or you want to buy a car and or an equipment, and they tell you the price is 200,000, and you tell them, you know what? I have 150 cash. And they're like, okay, you know what? Bring it. Are you following me? It means that product was negotiable. The cost is not a fixed cost. The cost is not casted in stone. The cost is not like an unbendable iron. It's something that you can bend. You can find your way around it. You can negotiate it. Are you with me? But you see, there are many other things and products you don't negotiate. Have you seen people negotiate school fees before? Your school fees, you go to your school portal and they say your school fees is 180,000. You now call the registrar, say, sir, 100K I get to. Sir, it's 100,000 I'm with. Will you take? They ask you, please, are you okay? Are you calling the right number? You don't negotiate school fees. They don't negotiate flight tickets. Are you following me? Yes, you don't negotiate flight ticket. Another funny one. People don't negotiate in hotels. Instead, they will tell you your own class. They'll say, exclusive. Give me those names now. Luxury room. Deluxe. Executive suits. 300,000. This one, 150. Because they are not giving you room to negotiate. You either take it or leave it. Are you getting me? And so, in the school of greatness, there are things that you don't negotiate. You either take it or you leave it. Even when you go to the supermarket, you can't even negotiate the supermarket. How much is this bottle of Coke? They tell you 250. You say, sir, I'm with 180. Will you take it? The way everybody will look at you, it doesn't even cross your mind. Are you with me? If that example is not clear enough, let me give another one. So in academic education, there is something they call compulsory courses and elective courses. If you pass your compulsory courses, you may or may not need to pass your elective courses, right? It's optional. But as long as you are done with your compulsory courses, you are good to go. But if you pass all your elective courses or your optional courses and you fail your compulsory courses, sir, you are having a receipt. Because those courses are non-negotiable. Are you with me? And let me tell you, even in our lives, there are things that are non-negotiable. You don't negotiate your way around those things. We know them. In our personal lives, you know, when we sound like, some people feel like, Pastor David, this kind of teachings, you are sounding too hard. But let me tell you, even us, there are things that are non-negotiable. You don't play games around them. Praise the Lord. For instance, imagine you employed somebody. First day of work, the person calls you and says, I'm so tired today. The person working for you. So you know what? I just need to relax. Can you just send me some money to just chill? They will look, you look at the person like, are you getting me? even in our lives. I don't want to go into the details of that, but you get the point, right? If you don't get it, please don't forget about it. Another example is when you are building a house, there are some things that are non-negotiable. The kind of rods you use for a casting, the kind of cement you use. You don't play games around there because people can die. Are you with me? No matter the cost of those things, you will either wait and get the right thing. You have to be foolish to go on. I know there are people that will go on, but it means you are the person is foolish. When you are building a house, you don't play games around the strength of the foundation. You can negotiate the color of the paint. Are you with me? You can decide whether I use a purple paint, off-white, yellow-white, all those kind of things. You can negotiate all those things, but foundation, pillar, casting, you don't play games around it. Are you with me? Similarly, in the school of greatness, there are things that if you don't have, it doesn't matter how nice you dress. Dressing is important in greatness, but some things are more important than dressing. Are you with me? Looking good, appearance is important. We'll talk about it later. But some things are more important. They come on a higher priority before dressing. Even being nice is important. Having a nice dress, nice face. Those are great things. They are important things. But some things are more important. Are you getting this? So I'm going to talk about some of them today. And we'll continue on them on Sunday. Now, they may sound like common sense things. But I can assure you, God asked me to teach these things. Because some people don't have it. Some people don't have it. In fact, many people don't have it. Praise the Lord. Number one, responsibility. Say after me, responsibility. I want us to say it, responsibility. It's a compound word of two words. Responsibility. It means you have the ability to choose your response. You have the ability to choose your response. It's the ability to decide what you want and get it done. You can choose that you want something to be in a certain way, and you make it so, you can decide your response. Like I said, it looks like common sense, but there are too many people waiting for things to happen, whereas they ought to be making things happen. They are waiting, okay, one day. No, you have to take responsibility. Oh, I'm waiting on God. There are things that God only can do. But there are things that it is you that will do it, not God. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
It's just like us moving into this place. And we are saying, okay, God, make this place conducive for us. Then God provides money. Then we come and pray, Lord, make this place conducive for us. And God is saying, okay, my own is to provide the money. You are the one to sit down and design. Let me give you an example. It's a funny example. I went somewhere to minister years ago. Now, if I mention the name of the place, they are known as people that have a lot of money. But when I entered into the place, I felt like crying. So when you get there, you can actually see they spent money on the place. But you're like, didn't somebody just sit down and think and be intentional? On the other, that is, they use marble everywhere, here to begin. Like, the sound will bounce back, sir. There should be some intentionality. Are you with me? Marble, marble everywhere, marble. Hey, I say, God. You can see that the person actually had money. Expensive marble, but the training, the exposure to be intentional is not there. Are you getting it? Then when you now look at it, it's very, oh God, oh Jesus. So many things were so scattered. I know some of you don't believe me because you believe that Pastor David is a perfectionist. So many things were, I was like, why? Can you just tell your neighbor, take responsibility? Some are waiting, I'm just waiting. You ask them, okay, sir, what have you decided to do? Responsibility will give birth to creativity. For you to be responsible, you have to be intentional about what you do. You have to be intentional about your life. You have to be intentional about the steps you take, about the decisions you make. You know, even as a pastor dealing with people, I feel like too many people are not responsible. I want to say something now, but I feel like I'll make many people angry. This thing I want to say, I'll still say it. I will try to be as polite as possible. Please, I'm not here to bruise anybody's ego. I'm not here to make anybody angry. As a pastor, we go out to win souls. UBD has been running for years. You win souls, invite them to church. Why didn't you come to church? He said, Pastor, I didn't have clothes. What do you mean? He said, Pastor, I forget to iron clothes. That means you did not plan to come. Are you getting me? If you are responsible enough, you will stand up when there is light, iron the clothes. Has that happened to you before where there was light and your mind was telling you, go and iron your clothes? Go and iron your clothes. Go and press your clothes. And you're like, don't worry, it will stay. Don't worry, leper kept the light throughout the night. They will keep it yesterday, they will keep it again. Then, you know, people, you know that. Please, if you are watching from other countries, you may not understand. Then, you now say, let go and sleep a little bit. You now wake up, and truly, there was no light. You shouted, let there be light, and there was none. And you now feel like, why didn't I just press this cloth when I was supposed to? You should have taken responsibility. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Take responsibility. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate up therein day and night. Now, I want you to read from after night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. What will happen? You will do what? You will make your way prosperous. God can provide the resources, but you will make your way prosperous. Are you with me? There is something called the responsible thing to do. You know, people have asked me, Pastor David, why do you press so hard on, you are trying to make the church look like this in a certain way? You are I said, it is the responsible thing to do. Are you with me?
Yes,
it is. I should not wait for an angel to come and tell me that there should be ACs. I should not wait for an angel to come and tell me that we need a camera. I should not wait for an angel to come and tell me. Are you with me?
Yes,
as a pastor, there are things that are responsible things for me to do. You know, one day, you know, those of you who are part of what we call the intercessors group in New Breed, one night we prayed from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. Then we had a morning devotion. And that period I was doing a morning devotion, this is my YouTube, the YouTube devotions that we do. So somebody, one of our leaders called me and said, Pastor, are you a spirit? I said, no, I'm a human being. He said, you led prayer from this time to this time. Then you now did YouTube live stream. Then he now came and saw 7 excerpt on Instagram. Then he now saw another thing I was doing by 9. I'm not talking about yesterday or today. It was a while ago. He now asked me, Pastor, please, how are you doing it? I said, I'm responsible. I am responsible. He was like, you are praying with people. And I said, wait, so if people are not, if I don't have a group of people to pray with me, are you saying I will not pray as a pastor? Oh, is it because we're having all night prayer? So you think that I don't wake up in the morning, my Kalakoya. Jesus. I feel like telling him, guy, Even if there is no intercessors group, it is a responsible thing for me to do to pray. At this stage of life and ministry, I cannot be saying, must I pray? Must I what? In the way the devil hates me, the people's lives that are, I don't think since you started since 1st of September 2019 to today, I don't think there is a week that has come and gone and somebody has not called me. Pastor had a dream, you were praying for me. Pastor had a dream, you were doing this to me. But then the human being that we are dreaming about, I will be sleeping. No, tell me now. I can't. It's not possible. It's not possible. He was asking me, what about the teaching series? I said, see, all the teachings since 1st of September 2019 till today, I wrote all of them in my hand. Process that. Take responsibility. I cannot just say, and now that when they are now branches, a pastor reached out to me and said, Pastor, how do people do these sermons for all the branches? Is it that you just tell the pastor to just preach what anything that they feel like? I said, see, I will fast and pray. Sometimes I fast with the pastors. We will get what God wants us to learn. I will study it, teach the pastors. We will have what we call doctrinal council. We will have a meeting together, go back and forth. When we are done, are you following what I'm saying? Then they will now teach what we have learned and solidified. Because we take responsibility. You don't leave it to chance. When you are taking responsibility, you don't leave things to chance. Are you with me? You know, I was saying something on Sunday. Nothing happens by accident. Only accidents happen by accident. By the grace of God, I'm saying all of this not to blow my trumpet. Am I saying there are things I don't have to work on? There are many things I'm still working on. Praise the Lord. So I'm not saying this to prove like as though I'm infallible. There are plenty things, plenty that I'm still working on. But you see, this responsibility one, we don't play games around it. Are you getting me? Look at Proverbs. If you have been reading the book of Proverbs, you should have stumbled on this chapter. Proverbs 12, verse 27. It says, the slothful man rusteth not that which he took in hunting. Do you know what this means? The slothful man rusteth not that. So, he's not particularly a lazy person. He went and hunted down an animal, brought the animal back. You can be hardworking and not responsible. He brought an animal that he hunted down. Okay, now, finish the work. He just kept it. The animal may spoil by the next morning. It means that if you're not a responsible person, your hard work may not even count for anything. An irresponsible person will walk halfway and he does not think about what is called logical conclusion of a thing. Just does it halfway and leaves it. Praise the Lord. Responsibility will make you take initiative. Responsibility will make you inspect what you are doing. Are you with me? You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to install codes inside of you. Codes, softwares, codes. Responsibility will make you a kind of person that you are thinking, how do I make this work? A responsible person will not say, this work, no, my father work. In the office, they give you something to do. You say, no, my father work. You just let it slide. After a while, they can no longer trust you that if they give you this thing, can they be sure that you will finish it? Responsibility will make you communicate properly that, okay, sir, I've come to this point, but right now, I need to move to something else. Can we commit this work to somebody else to take over from here? Are you with me? I know it was the best we all leave it. Nobody's handling it. It will just drop. Neighbor, be responsible. Pray, neighbor, take responsibility. The morale is low. I knew I would find trouble. Tell you another person, take responsibility. You know, one of the questions I asked myself years ago, I want to ask you, if everybody in your office were like you, would they make progress? Some people can say yes, I'm seeing them. If everybody in your office were like you, if everybody in your church is like you, would the church become anything? If everybody... I heard from a man of God. The man of God said, if everybody were like you spiritually, will the gospel of Jesus Christ have a future? Hi! He said that in a... He said, take responsibility for the gospel. So the reasons why we do some of the things we do, I've asked myself, if God committed the entire world to me alone to evangelize, how will it happen? How responsible will I be for it? Are you getting me?
Yes, Pastor.
See, in a place, there are people that make things happen. Those are the responsible ones. They are ones responsible for it. So you have to make up your mind that wherever you go, I will be. You can trace what is working to me. Serve me in the name of Jesus. From this moment, wherever I go, they will trace what is working to me. Amen. Wherever I go, they will trace what is working to me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As you can see, this kind of teaching will make you a certain kind of man, a certain kind of woman. A pastor was trying to invite me one time. He said, Pastor David, you know that we want to invite you on a Sunday morning. I said, hey, go and pray. He said, it's difficult to get you out. I said, there are people I'm responsible for. There are people I fast and pray about. Are you getting me? There are people that I am responsible to. If I'm not going to be around on a Sunday, the kind of explanation I will express, I will explain to our pastorate, explain to our leaders, explain to... Are you getting me? When they say a father is irresponsible, you just leave your children and disappear. You don't know how they are feeding. Are you getting me? You don't know how they are doing. You don't know how they are surviving. It's called irresponsibility. As a husband, as a father, being a responsible man, you think, okay, this thing I want to do. I know I have children that are going to... Are you with me? I have children. People don't know. When I talk, like, people feel like, Pastor David, you are too serious. See, I like enjoyment too. I like shawarma. Ah! Chicken and chips. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. When I was going to have joy, there were many times I wanted to go and buy chicken and chips, but I would just think. I said, my wife will soon be in the hospital. Baba, keep this money first. Keep this money. It's responsibility. Are you with me? Responsibility. Praise the Lord. I'm training you to be a kind of person. Amen?
Amen.
Are we still friends?
Yes.
Please let me be sure that somebody is not smiling. Please smile now, please. Let me know that I'm still your friend. Somebody says, fry us. Okay. Number two, teachability. So, I am talking about things that if you don't have, forget about greatness. Number one is what? Responsibility. Now, responsibility will make you an intentional person. I've talked a lot about responsibility, right? It will make you a proactive person. Take responsibility. Number two, teachability. The ability to train yourself. The ability to learn. The ability to train yourself to learn. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Listen! Your future depends too much on how much you can learn. Thank God for what you know now. But if you don't keep on learning, you will become obsolete. wise man will hear and increase in learning. One of the greatest skills you can ever have is the ability to learn, relearn, and learn. I'm serious. See, that is why sometimes I feel like genius is overrated. Because if a man commits himself to learn a thing, he will become a master at it. It's too hard. If you pay attention, you will learn it. Are you getting me?
Yes, Pastor.
You will learn it. And let me tell you, as a person, if you really grow, you have to something to decide that you will do. I play the keyboard. I remember when I was trying to learn how to play the keyboard. They were teaching me. My teacher, he began teaching me, I think, August 25, 2005. That was when I started learning how to play the keyboard. And I've been playing for, this will be almost 20 years. Now, when he was teaching us, there was a time they were trying to teach us how to create solfa skills. And they were teaching us something about tone, semitone, tone, semitone, all of that. When he was first trying to teach it, it was so complex. If you had like, I'm like, why is this thing turning my eye? I will write the scale for him and bring it to him. And the way he used to communicate to me, he used to slap before he talks. I said, are you sure, sir? He said, write the scale for E flat. All right. E flat, D sharp, F, G, A. Why? So at a point, I'm like, this thing I'm going to learn. So I will sit and look at it morning till night. We are on what they call long holiday. I will look at it morning till night. It will be so complex. One day, it was as though, you know when you catch revelation, Rema. I'm like, oh! I said, a tone! I remember where I was and I was looking at it, I was like, oh, a tone is not a note. It is a movement from a note to a second next note. I'm like, oh, I get it. And then you know, you're wondering, some of you are wondering what I'm saying. Don't worry, just pretend you get it. So that means I get it. Just pretend like you get it. So I remember where I was and I said, oh, I get it now. So it is D sharp, F, G sharp, B flat, C, D, and then D sharp again. I said, okay, I got it. I just read out a scale for you. That's why when music people used to sing, sometimes, you know, the problem that happens when you have a pastor that knows music. Could just, I'll be at the back and say, that basis, which kind of notes do they play? If I nod you, if I nod you from where I am, so that, sometimes it's so bad. I will even look at them and be giving them chord like this. Take this chord. It's like if you don't take the chord, I learned it. After a while, I got it. It was a revelation. I remember where I was too. 200 level. We are doing electrical circuits. And that thing was so tough. It was so tough, I remember the lecturer's name. A.A. Adelakun. Because every time we write the test, we'll fail. Every time so we went for break. I said, this thing, I will get it. I went and downloaded the textbook, John Bird. Open it as well. I said, today, it's now me and you. After a while, I got it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I got it. It was clear. When the current comes this way, then it can break into different parts. Okay, let me, sorry, bye. Bye. Sell them with teachability. You should have a desire to learn. At every point of your life, we should ask you, what are you learning and growing in? I'm talking about the non-negotiables of greatness. Are you with me? There are things you should be learning and growing in. Proverbs 4 verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Are you following me? Our motivational brothers will tell you, your learning determines your earning. Your learning determines your earning. Your knowledge determines your edge. Is it sharp, right? But me, I will say it like this. It is training that brings treasure out of trash. It is training that brings treasure out of trash. Praise God. Let's look at Proverbs 24, verse 3. Bible sweet, though. Can you tell your neighbor Bible sweet? Proverbs 24, verse 3. It says, true wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. See verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Look at verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Look at verse 7. Hey, Jesus. Verse 7. Please, everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Hey. Please read it again. Read the one who wants to start again. Wisdom is too high for him. He opened not his mouth in the gates. Do you know what it means? There is a way a man will be absent of wisdom. When people are talking at a gate, is a place where things enter and go out through. Where major decisions are, he cannot open his mouth and talk. Wisdom is too high. See, oh God. As a young person, even as a growing person, when your mates are talking about something, don't just stand and say, contribute something to the conversation. Say, I concur. Makes sense. Sharp. Norms. He opened not his mouth in the gate. At the gates where gates of finance, gates of ministry, gates of progress. Say something. No, you know. Some people will still open their mouth and be misyanning. Yanning dust. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Tell your neighbor, learn. Have a good relationship with book and paper. Learn how to read. Open a book and read. And you see, the social media culture of our phone scrolling is doing us a... Oh, God. I was checking the Instagram algorithm of reels that... These videos that we put on Instagram that make traction, I discovered that the average concentration span of a person under 25 years is 12 seconds. 12 seconds! They said if your video will be longer than 12 seconds, it will be difficult to keep the attention span. I said, Jesus. 12 seconds! We have gotten to the point where we now prefer the breadth of knowledge over the depth of knowledge. Make it brief. So we don't even know what her carries weight again. See, we need to fight back. We need to fight too. Are you with me? We need to fight. Something happened recently that has been annoying me. A comedian invited people to come and take jobs to pay them 500k, and he invited PhD holders, master's degree holders, and when they came, he was using them for content, mocking their degree. And somebody wrote an article that touched me. The phone you are using to make content, it was somebody that learned that made it for you. The TikTok, it is somebody that did master's PhD that have sense. The TikTok is going to talk rubbish. Is it somebody with sense that made it? Ah. And you have the right. See, we have gotten to a point where we have to collect many things. Now in our day, a girl can just open her bum bum and shake online and she will have 1 million followers. And we'll be hearing her as greatness. That's trash. Or do we stop celebrating those people and give them their true place? Wisdom is too high for a fool. What have you learned? What have you built? What are you learning? In your walk with God, what are you learning? In your field of endeavor, what are you learning? Is it not greatness we are talking about? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me show you something. Look at Proverbs 24 from verse 13 now. Look from verse 13. It says, my son, eat thou. Can you read with me? 1, 2, 3, go. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast faith, there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Are you seeing? He's saying that when you make up your mind to eat knowledge, there is an expectation that comes, and he's telling you that it will not be cut off. Your expectation will not be cut off in the name of Jesus. Part of the problem why people don't submit to teachability is because it comes with a cost. And that takes me to the next thing, discipline. And then we'll round off for tonight. Matthew 11 verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So you need to be yoked to learn. You need to know how to put yourself under to learn. As your pastor, I don't know everything. But from time to time, my knowledge is increasing. Those of you, if you have listened to our sermons 4 years ago, go back and listen to sermons 4, 5 years ago. Listen to our sermons now. You will know that some things have changed. Are you following me? Take my yoke. It takes some level of yoking, some level of discipline. Look, even to be a spiritual person is telling you that you will take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then you will find rest for your souls. Praise the Lord. So what is discipline? It is the ability. It has many definitions. So, but for the brevity of our time, it is the ability to put yourself under pressure. I know that this teaching series is pinching some people. But please, remember we are in the school of greatness, right? Oh, I need a better response. We are in the school of greatness, right?
Yes.
We are being thoroughly furnished. Have I been thoroughly furnished? So we are being thoroughly furnished. And we don't talk about this every time. So now that the Holy Ghost says we should talk about it, let us talk about it. Praise the Lord. Discipline, the ability to put yourself under pressure to get something done. The ability to put yourself under pressure. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You can say every man that striveth for greatness is temperate in all things. What does it mean to be temperate in all things? It means that you can endure all things. Are you following this? You know, have you ever heard that statement that people say that guy has a high temper? Have you heard something like that before? And what they are trying to say when they say somebody has high temper is that he gets angry easily. But actually, that's the opposite. If you want to go by the linguistic presentation of that word tempering, Tempering is a mechanical term meaning that you a thing can endure heart beating. So there are some metals that they do very well under high temperature. You can heat them and beat them, and no matter how much you beat them, they can take the form you want them to take without breaking. But I have seen some metals. Have you seen some irons that are like biscuits? Just heat it like this, it just breaks. That one is brittle. It's brittle. So, Chai, sorry. See how they are looking at me. Pastor wants to turn us to engineers overnight. Sorry, sorry. Praise the Lord. So when he's saying every man that strives for greatness is temperate in all things, he's saying that he can withstand all things. He puts himself under pressure and we can withstand it. So that means when you actually want to say a person has high temper, we are saying that it takes a lot to get him angry. That's the real meaning. Although that's been reversed and the more popular one is better used so that you don't get into trouble. Don't worry, our generator is coming in the name of Jesus. I want a louder amen. Our 100 kVA generator is coming in the name of Jesus. Yeah. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now look at verse 25. He's saying that people who put themselves under this pressure, they are doing it to obtain a corruptible crown. He's talking about sportsmen here. Oh. Go and look at people who do all these sports, Olympics, for years, to have a particular kind of diet. They don't eat anyhow. They wake up at a certain time. Are you following me? They go to the gym at a certain time and they will put themselves under pressure just to get the Olympic medal. He's telling you that if you can do that for a corruptible crown, how much more something incorruptible? How much more something eternal? So that means in your work with God, God is expecting you to put yourself under pressure sometimes. Some people, anything that discomforts them, that energy is still far away. Somebody sent me something. A HRU manager employed some people and they said they need a therapist to come and give them productivity vibe. It was a serious thing, you know, that they woke up that morning and they were not in the mood for productivity. So this therapist will come and scan them and make sure that they are up to the vibe for productivity. They wanted to say, is it Gen Z or Gen Alpha? I said, it's not about Gen Z or Gen Alpha anything. It's foolishness in disguise. I know I'm sounding harsh. Every man has started from mastery is temperate. So, look at verse 27. It says, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's discipline here. I keep my body under. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Listen, if you allow yourself flow by anyhow you feel, you'll be finished. Discipline will say, I will not flow by how I feel. That's why people struggle with fasting. Because people say, when I'm truly fasting, I will not feel anything. No, you have not fasted. The real fasting is that you are hungry and you say, I will not eat. You see, today, I will pray and fast. If you fast and you do not get hungry, go and fast again. Discipline doesn't act based on convenience but on consequence. Consequence. And that's the core of this stuff. It's not like we don't want to enjoy you. You see, this is me, Pastor David. I just told you I like chicken and chips. I don't know what I'm saying. I thought I like pizza. My God. Pizza and a fresh blended glass of orange juice. Oh. Able God. I like that kind of thing. But, sir, ma, I cannot be eating pizza and drinking orange juice when there is work at hand, especially the work of fasting and prayer. Pastor, like, if, for instance, a mansion camp is coming, then God is telling me to fast and pray. I say, Lord, I shall man pizza. Satan will be, You know that meme that's been reading where they will put that, is it that fox now? They'll be clapping for you. Start with saying, it's all right, nice one. Nice one. Nice, nice, nice. Please, but if you can buy for me, buy for me. I will collect. We'll break the fast. And we'll break it with the hammer of chicken and chips. Why? Laziness is too slow that frustration soon overtakes. Yes. Discipline will bet in you a person of diligence. People who walk close to me, you know. If you have, you know, one day, I cannot forget one day in Port Harcourt Church. They were walking, we were trying to set up something. We walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. At points, all of them just came out sitting in front of me and said, Pastor, help us. They put their hand on their stomach and say, Pastor, please. Please, I beg. We want to eat. And I felt like telling them, I've not eaten too. They say, Pastor, please, I beg. I mean, now you go call. Now you go call. Big. No amount of anointing and grace will work until you begin to walk. No amount of advice on making progress will work until you begin to walk. If I like, let me pour a hole. Are you following what I'm saying? This is a serious one. Look at Jesus, our own master. John 9 verse 4. John chapter 9 from verse 4. He says, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. That means every day before night comes, you must do something that you said, okay, today I walked. Today, what have you done? So when they go to the office, in the office, they will just gossip. Have you seen that one? She goes to the empty. She enter the office now. You turn on office gossip, office talk, office gist. You do politics inside. Walk! Learn to be the person that even if they don't like, they cannot deny. They may not like you, but say that guy, he gets the job done. That one, he gets the job. When I used to work in the oil field, they didn't like me for one major reason. They felt I was too spirit coco. Jesus, every time I would come to the office, I would pray in tongues, find one corner and pray in tongues. Then I would go and wear my coverall and helmet. I was an engineer. And then when they come and say, they will not do something funny on you then. Say, man of God, bless us. Lay hands on sir. You know those funny things? Try to mock me. They would come and say, my bishop. I need your blessing, sir. And I'll just laugh. But when the play is over, we are open with head. Let's start work. Proverbs 14, verse 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tended only to penury. Not cho. Show working. Show working. Sir, I will do. I will do. In all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips lead only to penury. You are talking too much. Get to work. Praise the Lord. In all labor there is profits. So say after me, I'm a man of discipline. For the lady, say after me, I'm a woman of discipline. People should know you that you see this girl. She does great makeup. When she appears like this, her gown will slay all the demons. If you touch the Indian hair of her garment, you'll be made whole. But she knows what she's doing. Are you getting me? You can look beautiful but solid. You can look sassy and solid too. You wear your high heel, your pam, pam. When they see you, pa, this lady, she's giving. But on the job, not the one that you are just fine, fine, fine up and down. Oh, yeah, do talk, nothing. God, I remember what I want to say. So, guys can know what I'm talking about. You just see a beautiful girl, head to toe. Pack, 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 pack. Open your mouth, talk. Hello, I better give me a caramel ketchup. You're like, oh, God. With all this beauty, like, why? Why? Brothers, you know what I'm talking about, Abby? Just fine. I saw one scripture in the Bible that made me almost faint. The Bible says, as a golden ring is in the nose of a pig. It's in the book of Proverbs, though. You go and find it. So it is a beautiful man without wisdom. Am I talking to you? Okay, you have turned into a male female thing, Abi. No problem. I will soon face the guys. If you like, go do gym, big chest, no sense. You wear suit and tie. Just open your mouth and talk. Okay, what have you chased and gotten down this week? What have you produced this week? Is it, you know, the Lord is faithful. Lord is faithful. My God, you are God is faithful. You are not faithful. Embrace work. Say after me, I will embrace work. He says, whatever your hand find out to do, do it with all thy might. I know you don't have that big contract now. I know you don't have that 50 billion naira now. The one in your hand, do something with it. Yes, I will talk more about this on Sunday. The one in your hand, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. To him that hath shall not be given. And to him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. No, our time is exhausted, even now I talked about it. Because God is judging your faithfulness. You know, somebody messaged me one day and said, so David, when I stream new breed services online, I cannot calculate how many people are in church by the way you preach. I said, yes, because in my mind, every sermon I preach is for the world. Oh, you think I'm just talking to you here? No, I'm talking to the entire world. Jump on your feet. Do you feel like you are in a school of greatness? Like you are being thoroughly furnished? You have to tell yourself, I will not be the person that is always giving excuses. I will get job done. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, from today, my life is marked by great responsibility. My life is marked by teachability. And my life is marked by discipline. In the name of Jesus, the wisdom of God is mighty in me. In the name of Jesus, the wisdom of God is mighty in me. Throwing away distractions, removing aberrations, and making me the man and woman you've called me to be. Can you begin to pray right now? Shalabranda kapasataya.